We're retracing our steps. We're going to go back and review from Yeshaya, what they call the 8th chapter, the 12th Pasuk. And the Navi is saying not to place their confidence in Shevna, who is leading the rebellion. So the Navi says, Lo tomiru hun kesher lechol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kasher. Hashem says, you, Shevna, and your men, even though you think you outnumber Chizkiyo, the pious king, technically you think we go with the majority. No, don't join the majority. Just because they're saying to rebel doesn't mean it's going to happen. And here we saw the Talmud in Sanhedrin, Kesher Hashem Eino Min HaMinyan. God says the unification of the wicked doesn't count. Doesn't count, that's a play on words. They don't count. Their numbers don't matter. Hashem says, don't be scared of him. Don't let him scare you with his strong words. Don't be impressed with his strength. Hashem says, lean on me. Sanctify my name. Vehu mora'achem. Vehu ma'aritzechem. Hashem says, you only have to fear me, nothing else to fear. And he's the one that will give you strength to stand up to the enemies. Think about it. They had no chance. The Sanherib and his men conquered all of Israel. The northern 10 tribes. They conquered much of the Middle East. All they had left was little Jerusalem. And the majority of the people in Jerusalem weren't on their side. The majority of the soldiers were rebelling and saying, we're going with Shevna and we're giving the city over to Sanherib, which made sense. There was no logical reason to believe they'd succeed. And Hashem says, don't worry about it. Rob, yeah.
So why is Shevna, it says, don't join, you know, it's like the wicked don't count. But what made Shevna wicked? Was it, was he a wicked person with no connection to what he was saying to do? Or was it made him wicked that he was saying to surrender?
So we saw that Shevna was going against the Navi. Shevna was going against the king. Shevna was an advisor to the king who was arranging his own rebellion. Shevna was a person who would eat tons of food each day and mock the piety of Chizkiyo. And people would look at him and say, ah, that's a king. Look at how much meat he eats in a meal. Chizkiyo, slice of bread, cup of water. That's not a king.
So if he hadn't been doing those things, but he had felt like the right thing to do,
if he hadn't done which things? If I didn't have a prophet?
Okay, I guess the prophet
kind of
makes it.
Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. Ve'aya le'mikdash. The temple will be the place of holiness. That will be the protection. The word mikdash can mean a temple. The word mikdash can also mean a refuge, a palace where you take coverage. V'haya l'mikdash, the temple will be a place of refuge for all of Israel. Everyone will find place inside. Ule'even negef ulzur u'michshol dishnei vatei Yisrael lefach ulmokesh. Chizkiyo and his men will take hold of the temple. They will be saved from the hands of Sanherib, and the other house of Israel will find it to be a stumbling block. That Shevna and his men, because they will make peace with Sanherib, and that will destroy them. So the Mikdash will be, on the one end, le'even negef ulitzor michshol, it'll be a stumbling block. It will be for the two houses of Israel. For some it will be a protection, it'll be a lepach ulmokesh, and for others it'll be a stumbling block, like the Eved Negev. Those are the majority of the settlers of Jerusalem who chose to make peace with Sanherib. So the Mikdash, the same thing which will be the source of protection for Chizkiyahu, will be the source of the downfall of Shevna. V'chasheluvam rabim. The masses will stumble on this. ונפלו ונשברו ונוקשו ונלכדו. They will fall and break, and they will be entrapped, as actually happened to Shevna. Now, the simple reading of the story is that his men fell with him. Chazal have a tradition that they didn't. He fell, and his men stayed in Jerusalem. So, Te'uda, Hashem says, tie up the warning. Yes. Shevna was a top advisor who was trying to usurp the king Chizkiyahu. Shevna was an arrogant leader, and Chizkiyahu was a humble, pious leader.
So and, he was siding with the Assyrians.
Right, and Shevna was getting the masses to turn on the king. Shevna was convinced he would take the throne. Shevna already prepared himself a burial plot in the Davidic cemetery. There was a cemetery designated for the king's descendants of King David, and Shevna decided he belongs there. The Navi says, so to da, tie up this warning, seal it, sign it, close it up. Chatom Torah belimudai. Hashem says, seal the Torah in the hearts of the students. Everyone should remember what we're about to learn. I've told them that the temple will be their protection. Let everyone remember that's what's going to happen, that I said it before it happened. Because what's going to happen is, in one night, you're going to have over 100,000 people die. So people are going to say, oh, there was a virus, there was a plague, who knows what. Hashem says, but I told you in advance it's going to happen. I'm telling you that all the soldiers surrounding Jerusalem will fall. And that's why the Navi says, mark my words, so to da. That's like in our day saying, mark my words. Chatom Torah belimudai, remember, I teach the students. V'chikiti l'Adonai, hamastir panav mibeit Yaakov. He turns and says, Hashem, I hope for you. I wait for this to come true. Because right now, you're hiding your face from the house of Jacob. And this is a term that the Navi is going to use again, that the Navi Yeshayahu calls Hashem Kel Mistater, a hiding God. But sometimes Hashem conceals himself. And so the Navi says, I have 10 northern tribes that had a tremendous holocaust. He had 10 million people exiled, destroyed. So the Navi says, I am waiting for Hashem who has hidden his face from the house of Jacob, the northern 10 tribes. I await that he comes and helps us. Vekiveti lo. And I have hope that he comes back and helps us, the Judeans, that we shouldn't suffer their fate. Hine anochi ve'ailadim asher natan li Adonai le'otot ulmofetim b'Yisrael. The Navi says, what I've done, I wrote this big sign, and the names I named my children, the children God gave me. What did I name my children? Shar Yoshuv, the remnant will return. Maher Shalal Chashbaz, God is going to quickly destroy the enemies that are coming upon us. Those are signs for Israel about what's about to come. So the Navi says, Me'im Hashem. I didn't invent these concepts, naming the children these names. This is all Hashem's telling me to do. Hashochein Behar Tzion. It is Hashem whose name he rests in Mount Zion. People will spur you on. They'll tell you, "Dirshu el ha'avot ve'el ha'yideonim." Why don't you go to the soothsayers? You want to know the future? Don't listen to the prophet Isaiah. Go, there are people who will raise the dead. There are people who could ask the bones, the avot, the yidonim, different ways of consulting with the deceased. You want to know what's yet to come? Go figure it out through them. Hametzafzefim vehamagim. They make all these noises that from here the sages derive how they used to ask the bones and the deceased. The voice used to come back like a squeaky chatter. And that's one source that the commentaries discuss. Is it possible that these sorcerers, if we'll call them that, were actually ventriloquists? And that's why the voice came from under the armpit or from different weird places, because they knew how to project their voice. That's an opinion in the Gaonim. And the Talmud says from this verse that when they'd ask the dead, suddenly they'd hear the voice coming down like a squeaky voice from down below. So if it's the dead, so that's the way the dead talk. But if it's the ventriloquist, if it's the sorcerer himself, so then, okay, so he's got to change his voice. Otherwise you'd figure out that it's him talking, right?
But then they just like act like the spirit just kind of came into them and is talking through them?
No. Not Oven Yidoni. Oven Yidoni, one of them, it would sound like the voice was coming from under the armpit. Another one would sound, they'd take a skull, put a bone in the skull, and then the voice would come out of the skull. I'm cutting it really short. I mean, there's a discussion how you prepare the skull and everything else, but in a nutshell, that's it.
Is the one that they did like the whole lying by a great thing, and that's something else too?
No. Right, so that's not it, no. Yeah.
הלא עם אל אלוהיו ידרוש בעד החיים אל המתים.
People will tell you, look at every other nation, they ask the dead what's yet to come for the living, so why don't you guys do like them?
לתורה ולתעודה.
The Navi Yeshayahu says, I swear by the Torah, and let it be known.
Im lo yomiru kadavar hazeh asher ein lo shachar.
I says, I know that what they're telling you are these lines, but they're foolishness, and there's no truth to them. You're just... the Navi says there's no real clarity from these soothsayers. And they're going to make you promises, but you should realize that they don't really know what they're talking about.
What is the idea that the dead would know the future anyway and come from it? Just because they die, like, all the people that are revealed to them, Tafa? Or, like,
Thursday night. Too broad a topic, and we're too short on time. Okay.
If I'm not here.
Ask someone else to bring up the question. Those who go down that path, go look at the north, the northern 10 tribes. They listened to their sorcerers. What happened to them? They became, they ended up on a hard destiny. They ended up hungry. And as they were hungry, they got angry. V'kilel b'malko uveilohav ufana lemala. And suddenly they realized, hey, no one's coming to help me. None of this helped me at all. All the hope I put, the money I paid, none of it's there for me at my time of need. And so they cursed their king and they cursed their idols. And then they raised their eyes to heaven and said, Rabon Shalom, help me out. And then it was too late. Their fate was sealed. And then they look. People will sometimes put their hope in different peace treaties, looking out to different nations. And when they look out to the nations, what do they see? They see the exact opposite. They see darkness. They see trouble. They see the darkness of enveloping dire need. Va'afela minudach. These are different words in Hebrew that reflect darkness, that reflect afela minudach. They're going to feel pushed into the abyss, into enveloping darkness. So all these words, chashecha, me'uf, afela, they're all synonyms for darkness. They're different ways of expressing different forms of darkness. Tzara and tzuka are also similar words. Tzara is external, tzukah is internal. Tzara is when you see the danger. Tzukah is when you feel the danger internally. The chasheicha is darkness from above. Afela is a deeper darkness. Okay, so these are all, it's the same idea. And the Navi says, look to the north. They tried this path, and where to get them? So you guys have to come back to Hashem. Don't go listening to the different sorcerers. And we'll pick up here with Hashem next week.